Thank you. You may be seated as you are. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. Hebrews 11. This summer we are exploring the unnamed and unsung heroes of the faith in a series I am calling Anonymous. Anonymous, the unnamed and unsung heroes of the faith. Hebrews 11 records the names of more than a dozen of the Old Testament saints who were great in faith, names like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, etc. But then in Hebrews 11, verse number 32, the author says this, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." At some point, the hall of fame becomes full. There isn't time or space to name all of the great men and women of faith, although they could be named. But rather than naming everyone, Hebrews describes those in verse 33 who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Last week we highlighted the prophet Jeremiah as one who by faith escaped the edge of the sword. This week I would like to highlight one who fits the next description in Hebrews 11 verse 34. Out of weakness were made strong. A couple names come to my mind. First, when I think of strength and weakness, I think of Samson. Of course, Samson, that strong man who was deceived by Delilah when she shaved his head. And the Bible says that Samson's strength left him and he was reduced to weakness as they put out his eyes and enslaved him. In time, the Philistines paraded Samson into public to make sport of him at a large gathering, and Samson prayed to the Lord to renew his strength, and he pushed against the pillars of that house, and the building came crashing down, killing the enemies of God. However, Samson is already named in Hebrews 11, verse number 32. And so I thought of another. I thought of Moses, who was weak. Moses was weak in that he couldn't speak for God. He had a speech impediment, but God took that weak man and made him a great leader. Acts 7 verse 22 says, "And Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deed." But again, I discover here that Moses is already named in Hebrews 11 verse 23. And so I had to think again, and my mind went to Gideon. Gideon is called a mighty man of valor by God and commissioned to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Yet Gideon objected, saying he was not a mighty man of valor. He was from the weakest clan of all in Judah. But that didn't matter to God. And so God used Gideon and his little, small, weak army of 300 to defeat the Midianites and deliver Israel. But would you know it, Gideon is already named in Hebrews 11, verse number 32 as well. So is there another unnamed and unsung hero of the faith who fits the description in Hebrews 11, verse 34, out of weakness was made strong? And so this morning I would like to introduce you to the man Caleb. Caleb is an example of one who out of weakness was made strong because God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And so from the life of Caleb, I've prepared a message titled "The Source of Strength." The Source of Strength. Let me pause briefly for prayer and then we'll look at the life of Caleb. God in heaven, we ask that you would speak to us just now, that you would teach us. We ask that you would give us insight and understanding into the life of Caleb and his great faith that brought strength out of weakness. Lord, I pray for the folks here before me, those listening on the radio or watching the live stream online. Lord, for the family and the friends of Fourth Baptist Church, that you would strengthen us even this morning in our weakness, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're in Hebrews chapter 11 just now, but I need you to turn back with me in your Old Testaments to Numbers chapter 13. back to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. We're first introduced to Caleb in Numbers 13 when the children of Israel were encamped at Kadesh Barnea, a desert oasis on the southern border of the Promised Land. Moses has just led Israel out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, by Mount Sinai for the giving of the law, and then across the Negev Desert to this place. The time has come for Israel to claim the Promised Land. Numbers 13, verse number 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." 12 men were chosen for the mission, one representative from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, because the land was to be divided among the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 men would travel north into Canaan for reconnaissance before their conquest. The names of the 12 men are then listed there in verses 4 through 16. You see them listed, but you can find Caleb's name in verse number 6. Numbers 13, verse number 6, from the tribe of Judah, who was the delegate, the representative from Judah, verse number 6, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. The instructions are now made clear, beginning in verse number 17. If you'll pick up with me there, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak." Notice the theme there of strength and weakness. Verse 22, "And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there." Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Of all of the places that they scouted, the walled cities of Hebron, as is named in verse 22, it's important that you remember the name Hebron. Verse 22 tells us that Hebron was the home to the descendants of Anak. It's important that you remember that. The descendants of Anak there in verse 22. After a 40-day secret survey of the land in verse 25, they returned back home to Kadesh Barnea in verse 26 to report about the richness of the land in verse 27. But Numbers 13, verse 28, they reported, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there from the city of Hebron." What's the objection? They felt and feared that Israel was too weak to destroy the strong people and places of the Promised Land, namely the city of Hebron and the descendants of Anak, who were stronger than they were. But of the 12 spies, there were 2 spies. You know this Old Testament narrative well. There were 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, who felt differently. Verse number 30. Don't lose me. Verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Here's our theme. "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants of the descendants of who? Of Anak, from Hebron. They came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Okay, what do you do when you are told that obeying God cannot be done because the obstacles and the opposition are too great, and you all, you are too weak? Make this a talking point this week in your Summer Home Bible Fellowships as you meet in small groups on Wednesday evenings. Consider this. When you feel like you can't go, when you feel like you can't give, you can't serve, you can't live in victory, you can't obey God because you're not able to do that, it's too hard, it won't work out. Well, here in Numbers 13, the children of Israel were an emotional wipeout at this point. It was a complete meltdown, chapter 14, look there. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, really? Or if only we had died in the wilderness, really? Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Folks, this is embarrassing. This is shameful. After all that God did for Israel in delivering them from slavery in Egypt and bringing them to the promised land, they felt themselves to be too weak to claim the place that God had promised them. As recently as chapter 13, verse number 2, when he said, I am giving you the land. And worse than their feeling too weak is that they felt that their God was too weak to give them the land. Unfortunately, at times, we respond in the very same way. When we are overwhelmed with life, we're prone to hopelessness, just as Israel was in this case. And it's at these times that we must walk by faith in the one who is greater than, who is stronger than the enemy. Look at verse number 6, chapter 14, verse 6. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, this is our man, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord Yahweh delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Yahweh, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. You know what they're saying there? We can eat them for lunch. I think that's what the Hebrew says. We can eat them for lunch. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord Yahweh is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. Now, I don't want you to miss this important insight right here. Notice that Caleb and Joshua named the name of the Lord Yahweh multiple times in verses 8 through 10, as we just read. You can see it there in your scripture text. Multiple times, Caleb and Joshua naming the name of the Lord, yet the 10 bad spies back in chapter 13 never mentioned him once. In fact, all that the 10 bad spies could mention is the giant people from the land. They never spoke of the Lord other than to blame him for imperiling their lives in verse number 3, chapter 14, verse 3. And so often that is the difference between our fear and our faith. When the object of our sight is man, whether it's our own man, I'm awfully small, I'm a short man, I'm a weak man, or whether it's other men, others around us, when the object of our sight is man, we despair. But when the object and the focus of the Lord is the Lord, we find strength. And so I would offer you this, number one in your notes, if you're following the outline I've prepared, we find strength in the place where we put our faith. We find strength in the place we put our faith. And in the vernacular, we talk about putting our faith in something or someone. Let me illustrate it this way. As a pastor, I have made countless hospital visits over the years to pray with people before surgery. And so often, the patient will boast to me of their doctor, saying this, Pastor Matt, I'm told that my doctor is the best surgeon in all the Twin Cities. In fact, my doctor has done thousands of these procedures before. He even won a prestigious award. I feel so much better knowing that I'm in good hands. And so, of course, I respond. I say, well, that's great. I'm glad you have a good doctor. At other times, a patient might say, Pastor Matt, I'm so excited. They're trying an experimental new drug treatment on me that is so promising. They tell me that it has saved the lives of 80% of the rats in the laboratory. And they're going to try it on me. And so I feel so good about that. I say, well, that's great. I'm so glad that you have good medicine. Folks, even if your doctor is a dud, and even if your medicine is a placebo, you find strength. You find strength for your medical journey in that doctor and in that treatment because you find strength from the place where you put your faith. I've never had anyone tell me, "Pastor, this hospital is the worst. The ratings are terrible. They made me sign a bunch of waivers because they don't think I'm going to make it. I have no confidence in this place, but you know what, Pastor Matt? It's okay because my confidence is not in this place. It's in the Lord. And God is in control and I'm in good hands." Unfortunately, the 10 bad spies didn't put their faith in the Lord Yahweh, and so fear prevailed that day. And that day was a day which would live in infamy, for its consequence was that Israel had to spend the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness until everyone aged 20 years old and older died, never to enter the Promised Land. And we won't take the time this morning to read the rest of Numbers 14, but explains God's judgment, specifically verse number 29. Psalm 95 references this event, and Hebrews 3 quotes from Psalm 95 saying this: "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, 'It is a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways.' So I swore in my wrath, 'They shall not enter my rest.' They were not given entrance into the Promised Land except for Caleb and Joshua, according to Numbers 14, verse number 30 and verse number 38. But why? Look at Numbers 14, verse 24. But Moses, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Caleb followed God fully. Deuteronomy 1 verse 36, Moses reported that Caleb followed God wholly. And so I would add this second principle: we find strength in the person that we follow. We find strength in the place where we put our faith. We secondly find strength in the person we follow. Caleb followed the Lord God. Now, for the rest of the story, we need to turn ahead more than 40 years in Israel's history to Joshua chapter 14. Turn with me now to Joshua 14. The wilderness wandering is over. Everyone 20 years old and older has died except for Joshua and Caleb. The children of Israel have now crossed the Jordan River to conquer and claim the Promised Land that they should have, could have, would have done back in Numbers 13 and 14 earlier from Kadesh Barnea. Joshua is now dividing and distributing the land to the 12 tribes. Caleb is going to ask for, are you ready for it? The city of Hebron. Remember that Hebron was that walled fortified city that they visited, and they found the descendants of Anak there, the giants in the land. We pick up in Joshua 14, verse number 6, and the children of Judah came to Joshua and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Remember, Caleb is from the tribe of Judah. He is their representative leader. He comes and he says to Joshua, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me back in Kadesh Barnea." Remember that back in Numbers 13 and 14? "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Caleb followed God fully. Caleb followed God wholly. And as such, God spared Caleb from the fate of the rest of the population ages 20 and older. And I don't want us to miss the chronology here. Caleb was 40 years old back in Numbers 13 and 14, according to Joshua 14, verse number 7. We just read it here. At that time, Moses promised Caleb a special inheritance, a specific portion of the land, And at long last, Caleb is ready to make that claim. Verse number 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Do the math. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am, this day, 85 years old. Okay, let's think about this for a moment. Caleb is 85 years old. That means that he is the oldest man alive among all of the children of Israel by at least 20 years, because Caleb was 40 when God declared that everyone 20 and older would die in the wilderness wandering, except, of course, for Caleb and Joshua. Now, relative to the life expectancy of everyone else in that day among the children of Israel, Caleb was a very old man. And if we were to put it in today's terms, let's just have some fun here for a moment. If we put this in today's terms, according to my sources, which is Wikipedia, all right? According to my sources, the average life expectancy of a man living today in the U.S. is 79 years old. For women, it's 81 years old. I think that's because men have more fun than women by doing stupid things, which gets them killed, right? But 79, 80, 81 years old. At any rate, if we were to add 20 years to the average life expectancy today, because Caleb was 20 years older than everyone else who had died, it means that relative to today's population, in today's terms, it would feel to us like Caleb was 100 years old. Are you tracking with me here? Okay. The difference between an average retiree and a 100-year-old man is drastic. The difference between 40-year-old Caleb and 85-year-old Caleb would have been drastic. Without any offense, the older you get, the weaker you get. It's just natural physiology, right? And I think to some degree we've all experienced that. Caleb was a weaker man in Joshua 14 than he was back 45 years earlier in Numbers 14. Yet at the age of 85, this is what Caleb says in verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day, verse 11, as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard that in that day how the Anakim, the descendants of Anak, the Im is the plural in Hebrew. The Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Folks, is Caleb delusional? Really? How did Caleb think he could go up in war against Hebron and the Anakim? Well, notice the repeated name of the Lord in verse 12, Yahweh. Just as Caleb did back in Numbers 14, remember this? He cited the Lord's name, Yahweh, over and over again. Again, he is naming and claiming the Lord. And while Caleb may not have had the external physical strength of his youth, he certainly possessed an internal spiritual strength in his old age because of his faith in God, who was with him. Look at verse 12 again. The Lord will be with me. I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. I would give you number 3. We find strength in the promises of our Father. Folks, what promises can you claim to give you strength and courage for your circumstance today? This week in your small groups on Wednesday evening in your home Bible fellowships, make a list. Make a list of promises of God that you can claim for strength for this day. We find strength in the promises of the Father, as the Lord said, the end of verse number 12. Which, by the way, what was it about Hebron that made Caleb so motivated to claim Hebron as his inheritance? Why didn't Caleb just find another place in the promised land to claim? Well, Hebron had been the home of Abraham for many, many years. fact, Genesis 13:18 says that the Bible tells us that Abraham built an altar to the Lord at Hebron. The Bible tells us in Genesis 23:17 that Abraham purchased Hebron as a burial place for himself and all the patriarchs. That's why Joshua wanted Hebron, a special place. Caleb wanted that, and Joshua granted Caleb's request. Verse 13, we're nearly done. And Joshua blessed in verse 13 and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, the descendants of Anak. Then the land had rest from war. Folks, I'm not that old yet, but I so often feel weak. I often feel that I lack the strength to conquer and to claim what God has put before me, to be obedient to all that God has commanded me. And I suspect that at times you feel the same way. Perhaps you're a mom. Moms, do you ever feel overwhelmed in life? Perhaps you're a man. Do you ever feel defeated? You're sick. You're broke. You're alone or lonely. Maybe you can't seem to get victory in your Christian life, and you think, if I only had the strength of Caleb, I could do great things for God. If only I was stronger. Well, it was Hudson Taylor, the great British missionary to China in the 19th century. He said this. He says, all God's giants have been weak people. So how did they do it? Well, if I could conflate these three principles together and kind of reshape it into a sentence, I would say this. They put their faith in the person and the promises of God the Father and followed Him. They put their faith in the person and the promises of God the Father and followed Him and found Him to be the source of their strength. The Lord Yahweh is the source of our strength. All of the unnamed and unsung heroes of Hebrews 11, out of weakness were made strong. How does that happen? Because their faith is in the Lord. Just before we began our summer series, I preached from Isaiah 40. You remember this? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. It goes on to say, even the youths, the young men, the strong men will faint and be weary. The young men will utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, this morning I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning who feel weak or they're overwhelmed by the circumstances of their life. They feel beat down and defeated, or they're discouraged. They have a heart to follow You fully and wholly. They have a desire to obey You in every way. I ask that You would strengthen them, help them to stand, help them to walk by faith, trusting You, following hard after You, claiming the promises that You have made to us. Lord, may we be strong in the Lord, for I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.